To keep promises made at the Paris Climate Summit, Canada is unrolling a master plan to deal with climate change, including a phase-out of coal by 2030 and a phase-in of carbon pricing by 2019. Provincial premiers and Indigenous leaders plan to meet with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on December 9th to seal the deal. Mr. Trudeau also nixed a controversial new pipeline to carry heavy tar sands oil from Alberta to the West Coast. But he also approved the expansion of two existing pipelines that would carry the heavy crude from Alberta to refineries in British Columbia and Wisconsin. Mr. Trudeau says the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion planned by Kinder Morgan to the west will meet the highest standards of environmental protection.
Aside from the many and obvious economic benefits, we approved this project because it meets the strictest of environmental standards and fits within our national climate plan. We will require that Kinder Morgan meet or exceed all 157 of the binding conditions set out by the National Energy Board.
As for the phase-out of coal, all but four provinces have already stopped using it or committed to do so. Quebec has led carbon pricing with a cap-and-trade program that is already linked to California and set to begin shortly with Ontario, and British Columbia already has a carbon tax. David Hurdle is Minister of Sustainable Development, the Environment, and the Fight Against Climate Change for Quebec, and he's on the line now from Quebec City. David, welcome back to Living on Earth.
Great to be with you, Steve.
What effect do you think phasing out coal will have on trade relations between Canada and the U.S.? We have a new president coming in who really likes coal.
I think it's a clear signal from the Canadian government that from a national Canadian perspective, our federal government is serious about the fight against climate change. And that's a change from the previous federal government. But one thing that's very important to remember is that both in the Canadian system and the U.S. system, states have the brunt of jurisdictions having to do with the fight against climate change. Quebec set up its cap and trade system with California while we had a national government that would not even say the words climate change. And we were able to develop this and have Ontario come on board and BC set up its carbon tax. And so while our federal government at the same time was pulling out of Kyoto, was pulling out of, up until Paris, what was the most significant international agreement on climate, we were still able as provinces to move ahead with significant moves on the fight against climate change. And we're seeing what we saw in Marrakesh with the presence of California, Washington State, Vermont, and several other states. There's still this will to work and to collaborate with Canadian provinces, with Mexico. And also we have the Under Two Coalition, which is over 160 governments from around the world that have all committed to reducing emissions by 80 to 95% by 2050. And that's representing over a billion people in the planet. And that includes California. And actually, it was an initiative that was started by California. So it shows you that at that level, yes, obviously, national governments have an important role to play in the fight against climate change. But also, I think it's important to stress that states, provinces, what we call in UN speak, infranational governments, have a major role and can still move ahead even if a national government isn't moving at the same pace.
Now, as I understand it, all the premiers and the Indigenous leaders will come together on December 9th to finalize the Canadian climate plan that Prime Minister Trudeau promised in Paris last year. What do you expect that plan to look like after that meeting?
Well, all the environment ministers of Canada, including the federal minister, met in Montreal. I actually hosted them last month for a conference that was set to prepare this December 9th meeting. And so at that conference, all the ministers agreed on the basic principles of a pan-Canadian framework to coordinate efforts in the fight against climate change. Now, obviously, certain provinces did not agree with the federal government's proposal to impose a carbon tax in the provinces that do not have a price on carbon yet, namely Saskatchewan. But since then, other provinces have announced that they will put a price on carbon. So now, Nova Scotia, for example, has decided to choose a cap and trade system, which is similar to the one that was adopted by Quebec. Quebec is already linked to California's cap and trade system, and we already have the largest cap and trade system in North America. And the federal plan recognizes the Quebec-California system as a valid equivalent to a carbon tax.
Let me be sure I understand this right. So there's an option then for each province.
There is.
You can go with cap and trade, join with Quebec and Ottawa and be part of the California system as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have a carbon tax and the federal government will set this carbon tax rate.
Exactly. So jurisdictions like Alberta and British Columbia have already set up a carbon tax. So the criteria is the federal government says, well, the tax has to at least reach $50 by 2022, $50 a ton by 2022. So it has to be stringent enough, because if your tax is too low, you're not going to be able to reduce emissions significantly. So it has to be high enough to force industry to reduce emissions. While a cap and trade system, the system already integrates reduction targets. So they're an effective way of not only reducing emissions, but also generating revenue to invest in transitioning your economy out of fossil fuels.
By the way, Minister Hertl, when it comes to a carbon tax, where does the revenue from that tax go into the Canadian system?
Well, the Canadian system, the federal government has said if a province uses the federally imposed tax, well, then the federal government has promised to redistribute those revenues to that province. And so that province will have a certain form of flexibility into what it does. In BC, for example, their system has been revenue neutral. So it's redistributed in certain elements of transitioning their economy out of fossils, but also there are, for example, tax breaks or tax advantages to offset the impact of the tax on the consumer. Whereas in Quebec, the cap and trade revenues are entirely reinvested in Quebec's Green Fund, which invests in programs to transition out of the fossil fuel-based economy, to invest in clean tech, to invest in an electrification of transportation. For example, through our Green Fund, so through our cap and trade carbon market revenues, we can offer an $8,000 per person rebate for anyone wanting to buy an electric car. We're also investing in a network of charging stations. We already have over 1,200 charging stations across Quebec. We're investing in waste management, for example. So we have different areas. We have about 30 different orientations through our climate change action plan, which spends the money which is generated from cap and trade. So far in almost 3 years now, we've generated over $1.4 billion through cap and trade, and that's entirely reinvested in Quebec's economy into clean tech, into adaptation measures, into mitigation measures in a wide series of fields.
Now, since Quebec has been a pioneer in the cap and trade here in North America, you partnered up with California. How is that deal going right now?
Well, it's going very well. I remember when we linked up in 2014, there were a lot of naysayers and critics saying that it wouldn't work. And we must say this partnership has been tremendous. I was in Marrakesh a few weeks ago for COP22, the International Climate Conference. I was there with my Californian counterparts, along with Ontario. And I think the best evidence of this partnership being truly a success is one, both parties have been able to harmonize. Think about it. You have two infranational states, two states from national countries, one from Canada, one from the U.S., coming together on cap and trade, speaking two different languages, and we've been able to harmonize our regulations, our laws, and we've had now 9 auctions, credit auctions, because that's the cap and trade system. 4 times a year, you auction off these carbon credits that companies have to buy to respect the laws and regulations regarding cap and trade. And these auctions have been very successful. The last auction, just Quebec, which was last week, we announced the results of the last auction. We raised $155 million, and that's a very successful amount.
And another state, Ontario, is ready to join. Is that correct?
Yes. Ontario has not only announced that they will join, the Quebec-California cabin train system, but they've actually passed legislation. The Ontario legislature last spring passed legislation that will let Ontario not only set up its cap and trade system, but we're working right now to link up with Ontario. And therefore, Ontario will join the Quebec-California system. So now you're going to have over 50% of Canada's economy and over 60% of its population having the same cap and trade system, which will be linked to California. Last August, I was in Guadalajara, Mexico, for the Summit of the Americas on Climate Change. I was there representing Quebec. Premier Kathleen Wynne of Ontario was there with me. And we signed an agreement with Mexico because Mexico has decided to set up its own cap and trade system, similar to the Quebec-California model, and has indicated its intention to not only collaborate with Quebec, California, and Ontario, but also to eventually link to the market. So you're seeing from a North American perspective, not only are you going to have over half of Canada with the same cap and trade system, California, which is the world's sixth largest economy, but now Mexico, 123 million people wanting to join by 2018, 2019. And finally, another key component is China, which is obviously the world's largest polluter and the world's second largest economy, has announced that they will set up a national cap and trade system by 2018. And we've actually been working with China on their cap and trade system. They've sent a delegation to Quebec twice now in the last year to learn from our system and to see how we can further collaborate.
So would this mean that if I bought a credit in Quebec, I might be able to use it in my factory in China?
We're not there yet. No, I think that's still a ways off. But I think you're seeing from a North American perspective that there's more and more collaboration, not only in Marrakesh, but throughout the past year, I've had very good conversations with my counterparts in several U.S. states. We've even had European countries interested in our North American cap and trade system. And so what I think right now where we're at with China is more about exchanging information, exchanging data, collaborating. And I think that's very encouraging for the future, because ultimately what we're going to need to do, all the nations, all the infranational states, the national governments, eventually, once we get past this initial stage of adopting carbon pricing, I think the next step is going to be harmonization. It's going to be about how we make sure that our systems collaborate with one another. And I think that what we've started with China is very encouraging at that level.
And I take it that not too long from now, I can buy a credit in Quebec and use it in Guadalajara or in Veracruz.
In Mexico, definitely. So what we're looking for right now, Mexico is already setting up a pilot project. And we've been working with them along with Ontario and California. And so there's definitely a path there to get us to a place where we will be linked with Mexico. But we're looking, maybe it'll take a few years, but it's definitely in the foreseeable future.
What about this kind of buzz on the Jungle Telegraph that New York State might jump into the collaboration with Quebec and Ontario and California?
Well, that's an exciting development. Obviously, we are open to discussions there. It's a very exciting buzz. We've heard it too. We know there's been some interesting, let's say, discussions that have occurred and leading up to Paris and since Paris. And so we're continuing those conversations, but we're definitely interested in exploring ways of working much more closely together.
David Hurdle is the Minister of Sustainable Development, the Environment, and the Fight Against Climate Change. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Great to be with you, Steve. Thank you very much.